You're listening to KJZZ's Here and Now. I'm Steve Goldstein in Phoenix. The recently completed election and the lengthy campaign leading up to it indicated the partisanship we've seen growing in the U.S. seems to have cemented even more, and how Republicans and Democrats use media sources illustrate those divides. As part of the Morrison Institute at ASU's State of Our State, researchers looked into how people use political-related media sources and what impact independents can have. With me to talk about that are Tom Riley, director of the Morrison Institute, and Jackie Sallet, president of IndependentVoting.org and author of Independence Rising. Tom, let's start off with, first of all, what was the research? What was involved in it? What were you trying to find out?
You know, some say that political parties are really coalition of issues. And from our research and others, we know that independents don't neatly fit into those issues. So regardless of your opinion about the outcomes of the election, everyone can agree that there's a stark reminder that as a country, we're really split among social silos. So media consumption, in part, forms our worldview. And with the onset of cable news and the internet, bubbles are produced. So we decided to investigate how media use varies by party, age, and friends. Mm-hmm. Pew, for example, has looked at this from a national perspective. But interesting enough, they broke down their research mainly between Republicans and Democrats and didn't look at independents, which are increasingly making up a larger percent of individuals. And our hypothesis going into the research was that independents may hold a bridge or bridging of the worlds between Republicans and Democrats. So one of the areas we're looking at is just the media usage and how people and who they talk to about politics.
One of the most interesting things that I saw in the report had to do with Republicans speaking with independents almost the same way they speak with other Republicans, whereas Democrats, there was a fairly stark difference there. How would those numbers be interpreted?
When we looked at news sources, Republicans in particular, as you move towards more conservative or more traditional Republican, you seem to have fewer news sources. Democrats and independents had more of a variety of sources. But when we start looking at social networks and what we came out, and one of the key findings is that independents may have this moderating influence, particularly among Republicans, and because Republicans talk with Republicans a lot, Democrats talk with Democrats a lot, but independents seem to talk kind of with both. And in particular, Republicans seem to talk to independents almost as much as they talk to their Republican counterparts.
Jackie Sallet, before research was done, Morrison has done some, of course other sources have as well, there was this thought, maybe even a hope among some, that independents were all moderates, that they were just sort of in the middle of both parties. And yet it seems that there is a mix of that, but also some who are just not as excited about the traditional parties, as it were. How big an impact do you think independents had during this campaign season? Maybe not even in terms of voting, but in terms of what people spoke about, the issues that were important that people addressed publicly.
That's such a good question. You know, independents are now, at a national level, 43% of the electorate, if you ask people how they identify themselves. So that's the largest group of voters on the national scene. And you're right. You know, there's been a tendency to look at independents in the same terms that the pundits and the analysts look at Democrats and Republicans, which is along what you might call a horizontal paradigm, a left-center-right ideologically-based paradigm. In my experience as an organizer and someone who talks to independents and works with them all over the country, independents actually, they don't really accept that paradigm or that horizontal divide. They don't think of themselves, for the most part, in ideological terms. They tend to be pretty pragmatic, but they're also very, very concerned about the way the system works. And one of the things that we saw in this election, which was very, very remarkable, we saw it in the primary season on both sides in the major parties, and I think we saw it play a decisive role in the general election, is the question of to whom does our political process belong? Who's actually running our government? To what extent do we have a functioning democracy? And to what extent do we have a system where the elites set policy in ways that are increasingly at odds with what the public needs? And so independents are becoming the voice of that message.
And certainly a part of the state of our state has to do with media consumption. I wanted to ask you one thing about that as well. It's been decades, but there was certainly a time where the general public seemed to coalesce around, let's say, the big city newspaper. Even if people may have disagreed with what was on the editorial page, they all sort of came together there. Now what we're seeing with this study and others is this splintering. And do you think that has made it even harder or easier for independents to increase their influence and communicate more when we have many conservatives focused on Fox News? We have many progressives or liberals thinking more about the New York Times, PBS, NPR, that sort of thing.
In the so-called information age, which was heralded as the time when there would be a leveling of the playing field for everyone to have equal access to information and the truth, it turns out that the truth is quite a variable on all sides. And I happen to think, frankly, that that's a positive thing. I think, first of all, not just the unpopularity of the establishment media, but the fact that they just got it so wrong this year is an indicator of ways in which it validates the perspective that so many Americans have, and not just independents, by the way, but lots of folks who think that the institutions, whether they're parties or media sources or organizations of one kind, special interest organizations of one kind or another, they are advocates for a point of view, and that's legitimate, but they don't have the corner on truth and on truth-telling. And that's part of what got disrupted this year.
Well, you know, one of the issues when we address on mainstream media just about the elections is how independents were addressed. If you looked and were there on election night, it was always, well, the Republicans are voting this way and the Democrats are voting. Very rarely were there any talk of the influence of independents. If we look at Arizona and what happened in Arizona, perhaps the influence of independents spoke pretty loudly. And we had Trump winning by 5%. We had McCain winning by 11 or 12%. We had Arpaio losing by a significant percentage. We passed minimum wage and we didn't pass recreational marijuana use. So clearly people weren't voting party line. And they were voting on issues. I think one of the issues we do want to address is that how is our mainstream media actually dealing with independents, as well as the larger issue about, you know, our process is really disenfranchising a large group of the electorate by not having the ability to participate in presidential primaries, mm-hmm. Having closed primaries.
I mean, part of what we saw at a national level is, first of all, independents made up 31% of the national electorate on Tuesday last mm-hmm. week. So that's the largest proportion of the electorate that independents have been ever since the advent of polling. So first of all, that just in and of itself, that's a huge fact. But if you look at, for example, the Rust Belt states, the so-called swing states, where independents make up a significant portion of the voting population, they were a huge force during the primary season. In fact, in many of these states, in a number of these states, the independents came out full bore for Bernie Sanders, mm-hmm. Who captured between 65 and 72% of the independent vote. In the states where he beat Hillary Clinton in the Democratic primaries, independents were his margin. But those independents, many of them swung to Trump in the Rust Belt and some of these other swing states in the general election. So there's been a lot of talk of the 12 counties where Obama had won in 08 and 12, but then Trump won, and those turn out to be likely the swing decisive counties in the country. You see independents, to go to Tom's point, they're not voting party line. They're not voting ideological line. They're looking to say to the powers that be, hey, the way we've been doing things, it's not working.
We'll be also addressing, too, mm-hmm. drilling down a little bit for the Latino vote and millennials. You know, millennials increasingly are not aligning with parties, and they're choosing not to be part of parties. We also know that millennials, and from our study, independents are increasingly using the internet and using social media like Facebook. Mm-hmm. And of course, getting your news from some internet sources can be challenging. One is that the good news is it's not filtered. The bad news, it's not filtered. So, you know, if you have friends and networks that just reinforce your worldview, you're receiving posts and information about news from those that are like you. Is it possible that independents can be sort of that bridge, that we seem to be very polarized in this nation, but maybe what's happening in the two major parties is not so different?
But bridge is an interesting word in that this means that traditional Republicans and Democrats, especially those who in the party apparatus, will really have to listen and get the message that independents did have a particular impact in this particular election. Because many would say, well, no question we're seeing the independent impact, but does there have to be almost a contradiction of being an independent? Do independents have to sort of come together and not just decide issue to issue in order for the traditional parties to really pay attention to them?
No.
Okay.
That's my answer. Okay.
Well, and you know, from our, when we actually asked independents that, you know, this idea about party affiliation was very strong, and that was not what they wanted to do, that they specifically wanted not to be part of that. But I think it goes to the point of that, what does this mean and how the two parties will address issues like closed primaries, mm-hmm. Which both Republicans and Democrats would struggle with, and what does that mean? Going forward, is that more of a retrenchment? Is that we don't want to open them up because they aren't partisan and they could swing either way, mm-hmm. Or the top two vote getters or some of those other type of reforms? So, you know, those are some of the issues we're also trying to address and looking at the role of the independents also from the issue of, you know, people have a right to vote, and are we increasingly disenfranchising mm-hmm. a large group of the electorate? We're in silos in our media sources. Mm-hmm. We're defriending people who don't think like us. So can we create opportunities and places where people can have civil discourse and conversations? And we throw out the tantalizing possibilities that independents may serve as that conduit.
Jackie Salad is president of independentvoting.org, also author of Independence Rising, and Tom Riley is director of the Morrison Institute for Public Policy at ASU. Thanks to you both.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.